Reserves in 1999 at the age of 19. Reverend Robin Myers introduced me to the fact that this church even existed. We were checking in over a cup of coffee at the Red Cup. Robin was my professor at OCU, and he knew that I was going to be leaving the United Methodist Church. I brought my college roommate with me to that storefront address on Hudson Street downtown. I didn't trust any churches at that time. I thought that they all hated LGBT people. On that first Sunday, I was captivated by the pastor, whose sermon truly spoke to me within my crumbling and non-traditional theology. I remembered seeing people who looked really different than those you usually would see at a church. But then again, I was wearing chain wallets and bandana rainbows, and I looked a little different myself. So truly, this has always been a place that no matter where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Christmas Eve fell on a Sunday in the year 2000, and I have a journal entry in my diary written that day. My 21-year-old self wrote, quote, "I just officially joined Church of the Open Arms today. I have never so truly meant words as I meant the covenant of membership, which I agreed to. They asked me, as a member of Church of the Open Arms, will you promise to participate in worship regularly, to contribute both financially and with your prayers, time, and talents to the mission of the church, to seek justice, peace, and compassion for all persons through words, thoughts, and deeds? Will you promise to grow in discipleship in the way of Jesus by seeking wisdom through scripture and experience, by building up the community, and by living the best life you can live?" I replied, "I do. I am so proud to be a member. It took me a year and a half to decide, and I am so excited and ready to be an active member. I'm going to go full-hearted into this church. I find peace, meaning, rest, and joy within this community. I am in love." End quote. I was in love with this place a long time ago, and I still am to this day. In 2001, I remember marching with the church in the Martin Luther King Jr. Parade. Clara Looper, Oklahoma civil rights activist, was honored that year, and I felt proud to be part of a community that showed up to important events. On September 11th, 2001, I remember receiving an email from Kathy McCallie after the New York City attack. She said that she'd be at church that evening to open up the building for anyone who wanted to gather in prayer and for comfort. There was no other place I wanted to be, and I gathered with our church for support as we were all still in shock and at loss. In 2002, my college friends and I attended the Homosexuality and Scripture Conference here at the church. We were excited to stand up to the KKK, who were supposed to be here to protest the event, and we were so disappointed when they didn't show up due to inclement weather. The growing energy in this congregation was palpable. Michael Moore's movie Bowling for Columbine came out in 2002. I remember Batch making an announcement at the end of church one Sunday, saying, "Anyone who wants to join me at Tinseltown Theater, meet in the lobby." More than a dozen of us shared fellowship that afternoon. In those days, I also remember that once a month, folks would go out to eat at a different restaurant, usually had to be a buffet after worship. We'd have to go there because 20 or 30 of us would show up in total, and it was a wonderful way to get to know someone that you might not sit next to in your pew. I was home from grad school for the summer of 2003 and talked to Kathy about the DreamWork interpretation classes that I'd been taking. She loved the idea of having a summer DreamWork course at our church, and I remember meeting seven times that summer. The summer of 2004, the church hosted a peace camp for teenagers. How can peace grow in the world if you don't teach people how to give peace a chance? I was a counselor that summer and remember the youth working in the food pantry, participating in a drum circle, listening to important community speakers, and forming relationships with peers in a positive environment. That summer, I also worked at Camp's Deli and Grocery Store when it was on 25th and Klassen. And every week, a group of clergy, including Kathy, would come in and talk about the lectionary scripture and text for that Sunday and all about the social issues going on in Oklahoma City. I served them coffee, thinking, I wish I could sit at that table one of these days. In the fall of 2004, I entered seminary in Berkeley, California, and this church put together an in-care committee for persons who would meet with those seeking ordination several times a year. The committee helped us navigate every step of the ordination process, and I wasn't the only one who felt the call to ministry within this growing, vibrant congregation. Even from afar, this church continued to nurture its members. In 2006, I participated in the Soul Force Equality Ride, a two-month activist bus tour visiting schools that had been poisoned by church teachings, which proclaimed LGBT people to be sick and sinful. The other equality riders were hesitant when I arranged for us to stop at Church of the Open Arms. So many churches had turned their backs on them for being queer. They were more than surprised when we pulled up here and saw dozens of church folk standing in the parking lot, clapping as we pulled in. The equality riders were welcomed and fed and listened to as we shared our experiences from the ride thus far. Open Arms, in conjunction with Cathedral of Hope and their pastor at the time, Scott Jones, helped to plan and participate in a social justice rally at Oklahoma Baptist University in Shawnee. I was never prouder of my church when all those welcoming faces embraced my new friends who had been wounded by their churches. In 2007, we were turning 10 years old. I was still in seminary, but reveled in receiving my monthly newsletter mailed over 2,000 miles every month. I kept up with the happenings of the congregation and was honored to be asked to be one of many to write a chapter in the book that we published entitled Being the Church That is Needed in the World, Open Arms Theologies. I'd never been published before, but leave it to Church of the Open Arms to create such a bold and needed piece of literature in Oklahoma. There's many books if you want to take one home on your way out. In 2010, I was ordained in the sanctuary on Valentine's Day. The love has only grown stronger over the years. I adored worshiping here whenever I was home for the holidays, learning of the new endeavors this congregation was engaged in. Mission trips, expansion of the food pantry, hiring associate ministers, ministry at LGBT Pride through the hosting of the Ice Cream Social, Spanish-speaking classes, and always taking a bold stance for social justice. Following in the footsteps of Jesus as an inclusive, justice-seeking community. I may have only been a pastor here for 1 year, but this church has had a major impact upon my life for 18 years. And if you noticed, this was just one person's memories and stories about Church of the Open Arms. And I wasn't even living in the state for 13 of those 18 years. So just know and imagine, I know and imagine, how many memories and millions of stories each of you have, and all of those who are not here in this moment have about Church of the Open Arms. This church has been here to celebrate our milestones and mourn our losses. 20 years from now, I can only hope that a new generation of Open Arms members will be present to celebrate the 40th anniversary. What ministries will we be focused on at that time? What rituals will still be sacred to us? What new traditions will have sprung up? What important world events will have transpired, and how will we have shown up in the community for one another during that process? What conferences will we be hosting? What social activist gatherings will we be making meals for? What parades and marches will we be rallying at? What will the signs and banners say? How will we be preparing our children and our youth to wage peace in the world? And what publications will our members have contributed to? What songs will make our hearts sing 20 years from now? And what photos will bring tears to our eyes? I don't know the answer to any of those questions, but I do know that when a person or an organization is born, they come with specific DNA that is with them for a lifetime. And so 20 years from now, I can assure you that what has been true from the beginning will still be true at Church of the Open Arms, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey. You are welcome here. Amen.